verse 9 and 10. I didn't come prepared. I don't have my sword. I just got my dagger. I always got about two Bibles in my car, and we got back out of town unpacked, and I took too much stuff out of the car. I'm going to go back to verse 8 of Romans chapter 10. Says Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, how many people here believe you're the righteousness of God by faith? Well, this is how we talk. It says, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. How many times you heard folks pray, oh, Lord Jesus, just come down. If Jesus will just come down. He already did. And he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Now, he's coming in the flesh at some point in time, coming down, but he's here for us. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does the righteousness that is by faith say? It says, the word is near you. It is in your heart. The word is, Jesus is the word, isn't he? The word is near you. I don't have to say Jesus come down. The word is near me. Where is it? It's in my mouth and in my heart. And that is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That's what the word of faith is all about. And here's how that takes action. And it says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, is justified, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two parts of faith, half in our heart and half in our mouth. And this is where so many people can't get a hold of this idea that I need to be speaking out of my mouth. Several have asked me about Wanda. Well, Wanda has, this is something Wanda, after being born and growing up in the Baptist church, her brother was a Baptist pastor. Then she got married a Lutheran and was in the Lutheran church for 20-something years. And then they went to the Church of Christ because there was more going on for the kids over there, and their church was about disappearing on them. And then they wound up back in another denominational kind of church. But when she got hanging around me, the thing that amazed her was the importance of the words that we speak out of our mouth. Because all them years of going to church, nobody told her about that. So my mother, I may have shared this story with y'all sometime or another, but my mother, back about 2000, toward the end of the year 2013, Mama called me from over at the Living Center one Saturday night, and she did this a lot of times when she heard from the Lord. And she said, the Lord told me, gave me something to tell you. Now, Mama was about, 2013, she was just a youngster, about 98 then. And she called me from over there, and she said, the Lord told me to tell you something. He said to tell you that you're supposed to be thinking about praying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, Lord, in your sight. And then Mama said, now, let me tell you that again before I forget it. The Lord said to you, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in his sight. So I went to church and ministered the next day, and I told the church about that. So then, that was, I think, late in the year, probably in December maybe. So then, that was in 2012. January of 2013, I went down to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, to Randy Greer's meeting. And about the second night, I think, he called on this minister that was there visiting from London, Ontario, Canada, by the name of Pastor Jay Jamarian. And Pastor Jay was from India. He was born to be a Brahmin priest, but he kind of ran from that and was pretty much a heathen. He married this lady, Indian lady also, and she was Catholic, so he kind of went to the Catholic Church. And then there was a bunch of circumstances that led to him. Somebody talked him into going to a service with him. It was actually, he was working for the Caterpillar Company up in Canada, making a lot of money. And somebody invited him, and he was over in Nova Scotia, I believe it was, and they invited him. He was actually at a Navy chapel and on a Navy base. They invited him to come, and so they were having some kind of revival services, and they had this preacher there. So this guy starts talking about Jesus being the healer, and he's sitting there, and he's got all kinds of sickness and disease and everything. I mean, he's really in bad shape, and Pastor Jay was, and he thought, I'm not going up there and letting that priest. He started, when the preacher started praying for people, he was seeing what was taking place. He said, I'm not going up there and letting that man put hands on me. But his daughter was about 9 years old, and she was out doing something with the kids. She wasn't even in the service, but she came into church, pulled on his coattail, and said, Daddy, you need to go down there. Jesus has something for you. She prophesied to him. So he went on down there, and the man prayed for him, and he got healed. I mean, got healed right then. And so he wanted to find out more about this, and so the next day he got his wife, and they went over to the pastor's house and said, the pastor's wife came to the door, and he said, I want to learn more about this Jesus that healed me last night. He said, I know this Jesus is a healer. I want to learn some more about this Jesus that healed me. And so the pastor wasn't there, and the pastor's wife said, well, you're going to have to get born again, or you're not going to understand it. Because the Bible says if you're not born again, you can't see into the kingdom, and you can't know the kingdom. And he said, and his wife, because she is Catholic, she whispered in his ear and said, don't you do that. You're already a Christian. You already go to church. So he asked the lady, though, he said, did this Jesus that healed me last night, did he say anything about I need to be born again? And she showed him John chapter 3 when he said to Nicodemus, that you need to be born again. So he said, if Jesus said it, I know he healed me, so if he said it, I'm going to get born again. So they led him into prayer, and he got born again. And then his wife decided since he did, she would too. Then his wife found this preacher on the radio and started listening to him. She was watching preachers on television, and he told her not to do that because them people are leading you astray. But she said, she thought, well, he didn't say I couldn't listen to him on the radio. So she found this preacher named Kenneth Hagin preaching on the radio. And she had tried to get him to listen to some of the others, and he didn't like him. But she said, you need to listen to this man. I think you'll like him. So he did, and they wound up, the Lord called him to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. He went there and gave up his job that paid a lot of money, and gave up his job because the Lord told him to go there. And went to a place where he's going to have to pay tuition and didn't have any money. And they got out there, and they were really struggling. They had this little, found them a little cheap place to live like students do out there. But they was a lot of days they didn't have anything to eat. And he was going to Bible college. And they was talking about how this stuff will work for you, you know. And so... He said he was, every class he went in, he said he kept hearing these people talk about Copeland. Said, Copeland did this and got all this money, and Copeland did this. He said, I don't want to hear no more about this Copeland. I'm struggling. We don't have nothing to eat. And then Pastor Keith Moore was teaching then in the school, and he taught them, he's teaching about finances, and he told them that you have to, well, not really about finances strictly, but just about faith. And he said, you have to use faith at the level where you are. You can't believe for these great things if you can't believe for little things. And so Pastor Jay, his area he needed help in was finances. And so he told the Lord that I'm going to believe you to get for me to get $1, for you to get me $1. And so just a couple of days later, he was at the house, and his wife needed some salt, and they had enough to buy a box of salt. And the store was about a block or so away, and And so he had enough money to go get that box of salt for her. And he decided to walk across this field to go to the store instead of around the sidewalk, which is a little further. And he's walking out there, and lo and behold, there's a dollar bill laying on the ground. And so he picked that dollar bill up and thanked the Lord for giving it to him. And he said, "Now, Lord, I'm an accountant." That's what he did. He was an accountant for Caterpillar when he was working. He said, "I'm an accountant, and I understand percentages." And he said, "I know the Bible said that you said we need to give 10%, but," he said, I'm in a bad fix. I can't wait for this thing to work slow. He went to the store, he got the salt, and he had that dollar bill changed into 4 quarters. He gave his wife 2 1/4 quarters to get some stuff that they could use for 50 cents. He took the other 2 quarters and put them into plate at church. And so he told the Lord, "I'm going to believe you for $5. And so that night he had a service at church. He went, somebody that he didn't even know walked up to him out of the blue and said, "The Lord told me to give you $5. Well, that's how he started. But he kept on saying, "I understood percentages. I could not. I knew I got to give more than 10%. So he was giving big percentage out of everything the Lord was blessing him with. In 2003, the last place that Kenneth Hagin preached was at his church in Canada. And they had raised for him $200,000 to put into Kenneth Hagin Ministries and Rainbow Bible Training Center. And that's a man that started out believing God for a dollar. But he found out about, I have to believe it and I have to be confessing it. Now, we know one of the principles of faith that some people stumble on is when it tells us in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, and he was like God, that he called things that be not as though they were. And that's one thing we have to learn how to do. Now, let me don't leave Pastor Jay too quick. I'm going to lay this down and find the prophecy he spoke over me that night. I heard him preach. So that, in 2013, I was down there at that meeting, and Pastor Jay, Randy, asked him to take up the offering that night. And he got up and told us, he said, "I've asked Pastor Jay to receive the offering." He said, "Now, I'm going to tell you, he can't take an offering in 10 minutes. So he wanted to let you know before taking the offering how this is supposed to work. And I'm sure that Randy was planning on Pastor Jay spending a little time and taking up the offering, because Randy had the lapel mic on and Pastor Jay had a handheld to take up the offering. But Pastor Jay started talking to us about getting ready to receive the offering, and 2 hours later we took up the offering. And I wouldn't have cared if it had been another hour. There were what things that he was sharing. But then he invited folks to come up for prayer, and not just about money, but if you just needed to be prayed for. So I got the front of the church is filled up several times, and I just waited a little bit, and I came, and about maybe the third whole crowd across the front of the church there, or in the hotel meeting room. And I was down on that end, and he started praying on this end. And as soon as he started on that end, the Lord said to me, "He's going to tell you, you already know what to do." So he came down there and he got in front of me. And he said, "Now, you know, this is my mama had said something to me about the words of my mouth." And he got in front of me and it says, in the mighty name of Jesus, he said, "Yes, the Lord is instructing you also. You know. And you know his goodness." And he said, You have seen it. You know his goodness. You have seen it in a measure. You have seen his blessings to a measure. But the Lord says you have been using your mouth less than what he expects you to. So from tonight, confess that which truly belongs to you through the word. Talk to yourself. Speaking to yourself, I have said, speak to yourself that you, I have said, speak to yourself that you are called of God to be a blessing, not just in the kingdom, but to humanity. You need to confess that. then I will perform that which you believe and speak. So now, be glad, because the best days are yet to come. They're ahead of you, but surely by your own tongue you can catch up with it. So be blessed, rejoice, and be glad. Now, if you heard in that, he said, there's a bunch of blessings out there ahead of you, but you got to catch up with them with your words. And so calling things that be not as though they were, I learned this from Dr. Larry Lee up at Salisbury. I like the way he said that. Telling the truth before it happens. Because you know you got friends, and when you start talking about calling things being not as though they were, well, you need to be confessed that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed and you're sick as a dog. And they say, well, you're telling they need to do that. And they say, well, I'd be lying. No, you're just telling the truth before it happens. Now, I got a good lesson on this. It's simple as anything I know. Maybe it'll help some of them. When I was at the hospital with Wanda, and I'll tell you about her in just a little bit. But she was on the second floor, and I was coming in most of the time on the first floor, which means I need to get on the elevator. And when the door shut on that elevator, I was on the first floor. I was wanting to go to the second. But I wasn't on the second. There were some buttons there I could push. And if I was one of these people that didn't believe in calling things that be not as though they were, I'd have pushed one. Because that's where I was. And you know what? That's where I'd have stayed. What I want to do is push where I want to be, not where I am. And when I'm sick, I don't want to be there. I want to go to that floor called healing. And them buttons are, there's no button on the wall there. It's verbally operated. I speak out of my mouth what's supposed to be going on in my life instead of what necessarily is going on in my life. Wanda has, she excused my feet on the bench, but my leg was down there too far. I'll dust it off when I get through. Wanda has, she had two heart attacks in 2002. And she quit smoking on the way to the hospital. And stayed quit. That wasn't the whole deal, but at any rate, her family kind of had a history of that, of heart problems. And she had bypass surgery then, and then the veins they used for the bypass, about just a matter of days, I think, after surgery, they failed, and then they had to go back and put stents in the bypasses. But anyway, so for a long time she's dealt with congestive heart failure. And if she would eat exactly like we're supposed to and not go out and eat out twice a day where they've got a lot of salt in it, it'd probably be all right. But she said sometimes things will start getting built up, and so that's what was happening. And I think she probably felt too bad to go to Gatlinburg, but she didn't want to disappoint me and us have to cancel out. So we went on. The reason I sound so froggy, I'm about 2 weeks into it, so I'm doing a lot better. But that respiratory virus, she got that on top of already having congestive heart failure that hinders your breathing. You know, that's when fluid builds up and it just pushes on your lungs and your heart, and they have a hard time working. And so we had to get her in the hospital. But we started talking to that situation, and she's, you know, way, way better. And she'd been losing she lost a lot of weight in the hospital when they start giving that LASIKs. And she's been dropping about a half a pound a day ever since we've been home, because we're watching how we're eating, and we're eating like we ought to. And this morning she got on the scales, and I heard her say, "I don't believe this." And I said, "Believe what?" She said, "She's down a half a pound from yesterday." I said, "You better believe that. And you better be believing and claiming it's going to happen again tomorrow, too." But she's learning all that, you know. And I'm going to go up here and sit down. That stool's getting tiresome. Hey, that looks good right there. A little story I heard one time about this man that he thought he was a faith man. He just got into this thing, you know, and he was listening to all the tapes by Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and Charles Capps and all that. So his ear had been hurting him real bad. He had a bad earache for he put up with it, and he was confessing, and he was praying, and he was casting out everything. And finally he went to the doctor. The doctor came in the room, and the doctor said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "Nothing wrong with me, doctor. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus." The doctor said, "Well, that's fine. Just give the girl $75 out there as you leave." Well, then a few days later, he got to hurting real bad again. He went back again and did the same thing over again. Had to pay again. Hadn't had no help. So finally, he went back and the doctor said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Doctor, I'm healed except my ear." And so the doctor got him a little help. So sometimes it's okay to tell the facts, but don't tell them in a way that I'm stuck here. This is just how my life is. And me and my family, we poor. We always been poor. We always gonna be poor. We ain't never had nothing. You know, say no. I'm getting out of this. I'm talking my way out of this. And because the Lord is working, He needs something to work with. And faith is half in your heart and half in your mouth. Even all your friends that go to these churches that argue with you about that, when particularly I'm thinking the one that starts with a B, they all understand that if you want to get saved, you got to do what Romans 10:9-10 says, not just believe it in your heart. You can ask a good Baptist, is it all right? Well, I believe it in my heart, but I don't want to confess it. Well, they say, you ain't saved then. But then you try to get them to see, and see, that's what Paul said. That this is the word of faith. But that, believe it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth. I tell you, if you're not really willing to say something, you don't really believe it anyway. Because what's in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. And if you can't get the words, "I'm healed," come out of your mouth, you hadn't got it in your heart yet. I'll tell you what now, you can get a 10-minute break and then we're going to start church.
I better get into the message because we're getting right in there. Enough is enough. But see, you've got to make that confession. That's got to be your front page. That's what Jim was telling us this morning. You've got to say, you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you shall be healed. You shall be saved, that same word. You shall be delivered from hell. It never was your destiny. Satan deceived us and got us on that road, but Jesus came and got us free. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And all you got to do is believe it and say, "Lord, I want you. Enough is enough. I'm tired of this world." Our scripture, we're going to be coming. We're still in the book of John. So if your Bible's still there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 2. Usually I come from the garden. Previously in the years I've ministered, I've come from the garden. And this year as I was studying, I went back to John chapter 2. Oh man, I got a page torn out of my Bible. That was a good page. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I've read that so much it got torn out. But see, the Bible is not what saves you. It's when you put it in your heart and mix it with faith, then you get saved. Amen? See, this is a book. This is a holy Bible. But it only the power is released when you put it in your heart and believe it and mix it with faith. And then you see things change. Amen? See, you can't just put this underneath your pillow and expect the devil's going to run out of your bedroom. Stay out of your bedroom because you've got the Bible underneath your belly. Put the Bible in your heart. Put the Word in your heart and it'll come out your mouth. And when you lay down, you say, "Lord, I thank you." See, I don't talk to the devil. I say, "Lord, I thank you when I lay down. I have sweet sleep tonight." I don't talk to the devil. He's not my God anymore. Amen. He wants my worship, but he can't have it. See, he used to have it, but I'm sorry. He don't get it no more. Jesus said, "God only shall you worship." Yes. Amen? Yes. And Him only. No gods before Him. Yes. John 2:19. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up." When Jesus said that, He spoke with authority. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. You know that, don't you? He knows something about building things. But see, He's not so much worried about building things as He's about building lives. Amen? And to build a life, you've got to have a strong foundation. You build anything, the foundation's got to be there. We're going to read John 2:12-22. I'm going to read, and you read with me. Hang with me, can you? After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum. This is after he did his first miracle. He turned the water into wine at the wedding supper. After this, he went down to Capernaum. Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters. This was going to be where he set up at. That means they're familiar with Jesus down there. He, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. Money on display. Kind of like going to Las Vegas casino. Money on display. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold, take these things away. Enough is enough. Amen. Enough is enough. Jesus has come to earth and he said, I'm going to bring to the temple what's supposed to be there. God. Amen. God. Healing. Good news. Enough is enough. Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered. Thank you, Jesus. They remembered. Amen. When he said that it's written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, here's the religious. Well, what are you going to show us? Big mouth. They pretty much said, big mouth. You made a big statement here. So what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple. Where are they looking at? They're not looking at Jesus. They're looking at their surroundings. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days, carpenter? You know, you're Mary's son, right? Joseph, you're Jesus of Galilee. But he was speaking of the temple of his body, the one we just partook of. But see, they couldn't see Jesus like Zacchaeus seen him. All they saw was a man. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. They remembered this, that he had said to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. When Jesus told them to destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up, by saying this, Jesus actually gave them authority to crucify him. Amen. Because Jesus said to Pilate, you can't do nothing. You have no authority except it be given to you by my Father. And Jesus had already released his faith and said, destroy this temple. Because see, Jesus knew the power he was releasing that was coming. And if Jesus had not said this, they could not have done it or crucified him because he had done no wrong. He was not guilty. He was sinless. But notice also that Jesus said he himself would raise it the third day. So how could Jesus make such a statement? Because God had a plan from the beginning. How can you build a house except first you count the cost? That's what wisdom tells us. Proverbs, you got to consider the cost before you start building a house, because if you don't have enough money and you run out of money, they're going to laugh at you and scorn at you. And that house is going to sit there. But Jesus considered the cost before he said it. Because they had already discussed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost had already discussed before the foundation of the world what was going to take place. They had a plan. It was the plan we sung about, a plan of redemption. To redeem means to buy back. Jesus bought back our relationship to God the Father. That was the plan. But God had to have our cooperation to work out his plan in this earth. Because he's not a thief like the devil. Amen. God has to have our cooperation. John the Baptist. Oh, I got a little bit ahead. All right, now let's go to Genesis. Genesis 22. Genesis is what? The book of beginnings. Genesis 22. Now, y'all, give me a few more minutes now because all that food y'all ate this morning is carrying you on over into the 11 o'clock hour. Genesis 22, I'm going to read verses 3 through 19. Where did this plan of redemption come from? Abraham rose early in the morning. I remember us rising early today. Rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which who? God had told him to go. Then on the third day, what day? Third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. You kind of getting the picture now? And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, which is Isaac, and I are going over yonder. See, Abraham was from the south. He's going over yonder. And we're going over yonder to that mountain. We're going to worship. We're going to worship what? We're going to worship God. And we, he didn't say he said, we will come back. Jesus is coming back. Amen. We will come back. That's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That didn't come from him. It came from Jesus. I'll be back. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of the men went together. Isaac spoke to Abraham. This is Isaac, his son. He's about 12. Is he 12 years old, Jim? About 12 years old? About Rowan's age? And said, wait a minute, we've done this before. Dad, we got the wood. Got the fire, got the wood. But where's the lamb? Dad, the sacrifice, the lamb that we all usually bring on the sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Had to be spoken. Enough is enough. All these sacrifices are going to be made, but somebody by faith, Abraham was a faith man, and he said, my God will provide the lamb for the offering. That's, if I trust Dad, he's okay, Dad, that's it. That settles it. Up the mountain they go. What I say, verse, what am I reading to you? To 19. And Abraham said, my God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together, climbed the mountain, and they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound him, and laid him on the altar. What's wrong with this picture? Isaac ain't a bad. He ain't bad. He's like, Dad's lost it. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Here's the good news. Good news. Enough is enough. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I mean, he's got the knife up here. Here I am. What you want? You know, we're in the middle of something. He said, do not lay your hand on Isaac, on the lad, or do anything to him, for now, salvation is now. Now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me, son of love. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a lamb. Are y'all reading it on the screen? Is it on the screen? Is it a ram? Is it a lamb? It's a ram. Is the scriptures wrong? No. The lamb was yet to come. John witnessed this, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, talking about Jesus. That's my cousin. He didn't call him cousin Jesus. Now he saw Jesus by the Spirit. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. Jesus has came. That was God's Son. And see, but it had to be spoken. It had to be spoken in the earth by a man so Jesus could come. and be that lamb, be that sacrifice. See, God wasn't out taking Isaac from Abraham. He was getting Jesus to us. See, a lot of times when God says something to us, we're like, well, God, that's taking something. No, He's trying to get you something if you'll listen and just say what He needs you to say. Amen? So that He can do it better. Therefore, Jesus, when He gave them authority to destroy His body, but the good news, the gospel is, He also said, I will raise it up in 3 days. See, what man did, God said, Jesus said, you can destroy it, but I'm going to raise it up. Jesus said, I will raise it up. How could He raise it up? Here's our last scripture. How could Jesus raise it up? Because Jesus is God. They are one. Amen? That's the whole foundation of Christianity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're one in the same. How could He raise it up? John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, enough is enough. You believe in Jesus, He's enough. Yet you were dead, you shall be alive. Though you be dead, yet shall you live. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Acts 4:33. Paul gave witness, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace is God's power. And three more verses I like in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:8. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Enough is enough. Amen. Saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. There's a better day coming. Nothing better than the resurrection, but there's a better day coming when this life is going to be over. When this earth will be no more. The Bible says the heavens, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Because God's creating a new heaven and a new earth. We ain't going to be here when that happens. Amen? Because we're going to be with Jesus. Jesus said, as you treat... we are His bride. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus loves the church. I love my wife. Am I going to sit there and let all this destruction and calamity come upon my bride? No, I'm getting her out of that. I'm getting her out of that mess. Because we got a marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible talks about all those that have received Jesus. We're going to be sitting up there in heaven watching some things going on down here until God says, now, saddle up your horses. We got a ride to run. I had a horse. If you've been at my Easter party yesterday, my brother could draw. I never could draw too good. Daddy liked to ride horses. Big horses. I mean, to me, they were big. When you're a kid, when you're a Zacchaeus and one of them big mares, Dad would ride those horses, and he put me up on it. I didn't like it. Put me right there on the middle. Clunk, clunk. This is a big beast, and I like cats, chickens, not horses. Well, Dad got me a pony when I was little, because he likes horses. Surely, Robert would love this pony. And I got on it. You know what? That pony wasn't broke. And it liked to broke me. Because next thing I know, my foot is caught in the stirrup, and I'm bouncing on the grass. And my oldest brother and sisters are going to get the horse, because finally I came loose and the pony, they're worried more about the pony than they are me. And they're like, if Dad finds out that this pony is gone, man, what about me? I mean, I don't feel too good right now. I've never rode a horse since, never cared to, but Jesus said, I'm going to ride a horse. He's got a horse, and on his saddle it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that horse knows how to act right. Amen. We're going to be riding with him. Because He said to me, it is done, Revelation 21:6, it is done. Enough is enough. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him or her that a thirst of the fountain of water of life to drink freely. We got a water fountain out here that Terry installed a couple years ago. You get some good cold Concord water out of there, but that ain't what Jesus has got. Jesus has got living water. It don't have to be filtered because it's pure. It flows from the fountains of heaven. He is. He said, when you get born again, they'll be in you. The Holy Ghost comes and lives on the inside of you, will be a well of living water springing upward. You have a well of salvation on the inside of you that never goes dry. But you know how you got to do? You know what you got to do? You got a faith bucket. By faith, you have to draw out the wells of salvation. By faith, you have to draw out healing. By faith, you have to draw out, I'm going to have a good marriage. I'm going to live long on this earth. By faith, you've got to draw out of that every day. And the water is never, that well never goes dry. But you have to continually draw out and walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. I know, my God, I know enough is enough. Last scripture, Revelation 22:13. Again, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. First and the last. Jesus took care of it all. Amen. Ain't you glad he's alive? That he's not a God of gold, these dumb and deaf idols that don't speak. Man, when Jesus speaks, the ground shakes and trembles. Amen? When God speaks, mountains tremble. But if you don't fear him, it's love. He's a voice of many waters. That's what John heard, the voice of many waters. Many waters. You know, we had some neighbors that, like I say, my dad, he was very abusive and alcoholic. But we had some neighbors, they were called, their last name were the Waters. And they lived down below us. And when things would happen at the house, you know, Dad would be on a rampage. That next day, you know, the Waters, they would harbor us. We'd go down there. They were always there. They, you know, never kind of got into the business, but they would make sure they would either give us some money or send us a fruit basket. They were just a place you could go to be safe. Well, Jesus is the living waters, the voice of many waters. If you are not feel like you're not safe, Jesus is your answer. Amen. All you got to do is cry out. There was a song I didn't bring today that I think somebody needs to hear it. You know, it goes back to Michael Jackson. He wasn't a writer. He was just one of the singers. But I was just hearing this song this week. I just never put it to the I want to take out a couple of courses, maybe one verse. But all you got to do, call on his name. I'll be there. Just call on his name and I'll be there. Just call my name and I'll be there. You need to listen to that song. Take out the last verse of the song and put Jesus in there. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And all you got, but you got to call on his name. Because faith has to call those things that be not as though they were. That's what faith does. And his and the Lord's phone number is never busy. He's always awake. He's never asleep. He's awake so you can sleep. So you can lay down at night and sleep. Yeah, the world's going crazy, but remember, we're not of this world. We're just in it. But Jesus, and we got angels, and we got the Holy Ghost, and we're blessed. Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you and release a blessing to you today. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for this wonderful day that we have came together to worship you and to celebrate your life, that you are alive and you live forevermore, that you are the resurrection and the life. And it's because of the life that you live and gave that we can come here today and leave this place with hope, Lord, knowing that if you would come, as soon as we walked out that door, if we heard a trumpet, Lord, we would be able to, if we called upon your name, we would be right there with you in the air, caught up in the air. So, Father, we just thank you for that great gift for giving us Jesus, your only Son, and letting him become the lamb that would be slaughtered and nailed to a tree and become a curse, so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that sacrifice, for being that lamb, for not opening your mouth other than to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then saying, enough is enough. It's finished. It is finished. And when Jesus said that, all hell was defeated. On that third day, he rose and he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he gave the authority to the church, to us, and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Good news. God loves you. God loves you. And all he needs you to do is love him back by saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. That is the ultimate sacrifice. That is your key to eternal life, is Jesus Christ. Amen.